Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Last week on September 17, we celebrated the Constitution, which the Founding Fathers signed on September 17, 1787. We're going to pause for a moment to talk about this amazing document and these individuals who were committed to birthing a new nation. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Matt Barber, the founder of BarbedWire.com, and Holly Mead, the director of communications for Liberty Counsel. Well, 1787, on the day of September 17, was the Constitution signed by 55 delegates that attended the Constitutional Convention sessions. 39 actually signed or were able to sign the Constitution. The delegates ranged in age from Jonathan Dayton, who was only 26 years of age, to Benjamin Franklin, 81 years of age, who had to actually be carried to the sessions in a sedan chair.
You know, that shows the devotion of these founding fathers, how much they cared for our religious freedom and our freedom of speech and all that, that Benjamin Franklin had to be carried in with a chair. It was so important to them.
Yeah. And, you know, Matt, speaking of Benjamin Franklin, Benjamin Franklin is very instrumental in protecting the constitutional conventions that were about ready to dissolve because as they were looking at previous governments and the republics of Rome and all these different governments, and they're trying to figure out, we have a clean slate on which we can write and create a new nation. But as many yeses on this version, you had noes on that same version, and so it looked like it was going to fall apart until Franklin stood up and had that famous speech, which we'll quote from some of it a little bit later, that brought the Constitution together as they ultimately heard him. Then they ultimately paused and went into a three-day time of prayer.
Yeah.
And came back and the Constitution was born.
The Constitution was literally birthed on prayer. And they had reached an impasse. It would not have happened but for our founding fathers pausing, turning their face to God and getting on their knees and crying out for his providence and for him to insert himself into the middle of this new form of government.
I mean, you have Alexander Hamilton. He was one of the founding fathers who worked with a reverend to form the Christian Constitutional Society to help promote the two things that Hamilton believed made America great. Number one, Christianity, and number two, a constitution formed under Christianity.
Yeah, he said, "For my own part, I sincerely esteem it a system which without the finger of God could never have been suggested and agreed upon by such a diversity of interest." That's Alexander Hamilton.
Mm-hmm. The finger of God. I love that.
And when this constitutional convention was about falling apart, actually was falling apart, it is when Franklin stood up. And it is because of him that every session of Congress now opens with prayer. It goes back to this moment where he stood up. And this is just part of his powerful speech. "God governs," he says, "in the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid? We have been assured in the sacred writings that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." I firmly believe this. I also believe that without his concurring aid, we shall succeed in this political building no better than the builders of Babel. Now, in the context of this, he said, we frequently came together in the same room when our lives were in danger during the Revolutionary War. And what did we do? We prayed to God, our Creator. And now have we forgotten him, or do we no longer think we need our powerful friend? We've started off with this constitutional convention. We have as many yeas as we have nays. We need to pause for a moment, and we need to go back and pray like we did when our lives were in danger. And that's what happened, and that's really the turning point of the Constitution. In fact, some of the delegates were already in their horse-drawn buggies were on their horses leaving.
Wow.
And some of the others pleaded with them, don't leave. Let's give this one more chance And prayer turned it all around.
Well, guys, we have our second president and our first vice president, John Adams, said our Constitution was made only, I repeat, only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. Have we forgotten this?
Yeah, and Washington said, of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports.
Have we forgotten this?
Yeah, and he also said that anyone who claims the mantle of patriotism and rejects those two pillars cannot call him or herself a patriot.
That's right.
This is our foundation, guys.
James Wilson, the signer of the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution and a U.S. Supreme Court justice appointed by George Washington, said, quote, Christianity is part of the common law, close quote. And that was a commonly understood idea. So now we have these confirmation hearings. Mm. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is up for confirmation to go to the United States Supreme Court. He says, and has said repeatedly, he believes that words matter, the words that these founders wrestled with.
And the Constitution.
In the Constitution. And
right.
We have to interpret them according to how
right.
they have been meant to apply. Not that you ignore them. There are people even now on the U.S. Supreme Court, Ginsburg being one of those, who doesn't believe that the words matter, who ultimately would rather impose her own view. And so that's the conflict that you have with this confirmation hearing. Don't get lost in all of the extraneous rhetoric and the 36-year-old baseless allegation. It's because there are people in this country, strong forces, that don't want a justice on the Supreme Court who respects the Constitution and what these founders ultimately intended for the Constitution to mean. They want a judge, or a justice in this case, to ultimately come to their conclusion, bypassing the Constitution, ignoring the words, so that they can impose something that is consistent with their distorted worldview, abortion or same-sex marriage and something else that is not based in the Constitution. That's what this whole battle is about.
And so they are willing to destroy a good man and his family, his wife, his two precious daughters, to rake his name over the coals and literally accuse him of attempted rape and in kind of a National Enquirer kind of fake news media stunt by Dianne Feinstein, holding on to this information for 6 weeks, sitting on it until after the hearings were done, the Judiciary Committee hearings were done, after all the senators had met one-on-one, Dianne Feinstein had an opportunity. So they are so desperate that in the 11th hour, they break out their old playbook and with unverifiable, unprovable claims, rake a man's name over the coals.
But guys, when you get down to the core of it, it's not really about Brett Kavanaugh.
No.
But it's about a rejection of God. It's a rejection of what these founders sacrificed their lives for in the Constitution. God.
Yeah, and they all clearly understood. There were some really devout Christians that you would consider today evangelical Christians.
Absolutely.
There's also people like Franklin and Jefferson who weren't as orthodox or mainstream, obviously, and had some unorthodox views. But when you look at Franklin, some of his statements are more solid with religious principles than even some evangelical leaders today.
God governs in the affairs
of
men?
God governs in the affairs of men. Have we forgotten him? Let's pray to him.
Yes. Unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain.
They labor in vain that build it. What a powerful statement that ripples through history. And now, Matt, we have a constitution that has survived longer than any other constitution or form of government on the planet.
Yeah, the brilliance behind this document, the shortest constitution really in history, but the longest lasting, the fail-safes that were put in place, the checks and balances, the structure, the focus on the rights of the individual could only have been designed by God.
Go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. You can also go to our online store. We have a Patriot's Handbook series, and the very first one is the America and its Founding Documents. It has the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, an essay from me, and other information there. It has the actual words of the Constitution. You can order that pocket-size version, and I encourage you to read the Constitution and the Declaration. We also have Peter Lilback's book, Wall of Misconception, and David Barton's book, Original Intent. So much information in both of those books and all these resources. Go to lc.org and go to our online store. You can also click on the donate button to learn how you can become a partner with this ministry to help us advance religious freedom, the sanctity of life, and marriage and family. lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. Again, that phone number, 407-875-1776. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org.